Welcome back to the Daily Football Show on a Monday. Adrian Beaker-Horton, Joel Freebie-Frushi, Tony TP2-Pasolio. You might sit this one out, Big Beef. Yeah, you're happy to? Okay. All right, well, we've got James Gardner on the line. We were meant to have Vincenzo Rigari, that is, but I think he's filing away, Frush, and he's very busy. So James Gardner from the Newcastle Herald joins us. Welcome, mate.
G'day, guys.
Mate, great to have you in. A super sub, as they like to say. And I tell you what, a bit of a super sub moment for Newcastle Jets on the weekend. Of course, Joey Champness coming back from injury and putting in a great performance. So for the good, bad and undecided, is that where we start, James, with the Newcastle Jets?
Certainly is. I mean, it was a breath of fresh air. Most people thought that when the Jets team sheet was missing Vargas, Petrados, Bugard, Hoffman, you know, half a dozen starters, Roy Dunn on the bench, everyone thought it was going to be a fait accompli and Melbourne City would be too slick, but it was the young guys that stood up. I thought Joey Champness came off the bench, but it was Jair, the much maligned Brazilian who hasn't really hit the side of a barn all year. He opened the scoring for him, and it was just really was the Jets of old. And for one, there was a real buzz around the stadium. They were so good in transition. It was though Melbourne City sort of just let them go back to the way they played last year. And yeah, it was a refreshing result. It was certainly good for the crowd, and it certainly breathed life back into the top six. I think 2 weeks ago we were saying it was all done and dusted, but now the Jets could be Adelaide on Friday, and being that, they could be 3 points outside of the top six, so plenty to play for.
Speaking of Joey Champness, James, I thought he was just about the best player off the bench. Of course, got himself an assist and a goal, and really, I suppose, brought the life that the Jets needed just to sort of push on and find that extra little bit to really hit Melbourne City on the break there. So I suppose in terms of what he adds to that team, and I know you've done a fair few features with him in the Newcastle Herald, I suppose, what does he add around the club in terms of, I suppose, not only his on-field traits, I suppose, and his dynamism, but also his, I suppose, his personality around the club, if you like.
He's just got a real positive outlook. I mean, the kid came off a fantastic year last year, was a finalist for the Young Player of the Year, and then pre-season goes over innocuously, fractures a bone in his foot and is out for 4 months. You wouldn't even know it. Whenever you saw him, he had a smile on his face. He was always talking about coming back and being positive, and that, I think, is reflected in his football. Everything he does is positive. You know, if he has a bad touch or he misses a sit, and not that he has, he just bang moves on to the next one. And he's a real polite kid too. Like, you know, there's some kids that have a chip on their shoulder. He's always, as soon as he sees you, he comes up, shakes your hand, asks you how you've been going, asks how your family are, asks how your boys are, do they want an autograph? He's that really that type of kid. And to think that he's got this other side to him, the musician side to him, the rapper side to him, they're poles apart when you meet the kid. But he's just a real brush. I think he's just a good, solid kid, you know. And a lot of times kids get chip on their shoulders, they get down the dumps when things don't go their way. But he's just got a real positive attitude, and I think that that rubs off on his teammates and certainly anyone that's around him.
So does he try to challenge you to a rap battle as well?
He would. I'm old school rap, mate. I'm more Beastie Boys and Monday MC, not this new age guys, mate. He's a bit too cool for me.
Fair enough.
I'm more in the sort of flower power De La Soul early 80s movement, yeah. Anyway, moving right along, James. In terms of the marketer's dream that is Joey's C, what about, I guess, from a bad point of view, surely it's got to be Melbourne City. I think they dominated possession. It was another listless performance from them where they just literally had possession for the sake of having possession but were just completely toothless in front of goal. They clearly have a problem with converting that possession into genuine attacking play.
Yeah, he seems to be still tweaking with his formation and also his personnel. I mean, Lachie Wales was on the bench for most of that game, and you thought they needed some penetration. If anyone's going to give you some penetration, it may have been him. The Jets' two fullbacks basically got forward as much as they liked because they weren't put on any pressure on anyone coming the other way. And obviously, we all know about the Bruno Fornaroli situation, and he had a couple of new boys in there. Obviously, Jamie McLaren caused them some problems, but again, he probably missed one or two he should have done better with. But I don't know, there's something about them. They just don't quite seem to be clicking at the moment. I mean, I was surprised to see Riley McGree on the bench. I know certainly if he was in Newcastle, I don't think he'd be sitting on the bench, given what he did in the second half of last year. So while they come across as a happy camp, I'm not sure they are. I mean, you guys south of the border from out of God's country here would know more than me. But, they just don't seem to be firing on all cylinders at the moment. Now, the way the table is now, there's a bit of pressure on Warren Joyce because obviously the big call he made with Bruno Fornaroli early on, and it was good early on. I think they won the first three or got some results after that all came to pass. But since then, they've sort of plateaued a bit, and they really need a lift over the next couple of weeks to ensure they're in the top six to start with, in the top four, where I think most people would expect them to be. So maybe Jamie McLaren and the other new signing they got from, can't think of the English club he's come from at the top of my head, but he might give them a bit more spark, but they need to find something.
Yeah, and I think certainly, James, I mean, when they went up there, I think we all looked at Melbourne City and thought, okay, they're overwhelming favourites for this game, given, as you mentioned, all the changes that Ernie Merrick did make to that team, of course, with the Jets going over to Japan on Saturday. That night's nice early wake-up. I think it was something like 5 a.m. But I suppose in terms of, I suppose, the way that Melbourne City reacted in the second half in particular, it seemed sort of a bit negative, if you like. And you mentioned Lockie Wales there. He seemed like the one that really could have provided the impetus for them off the bench, much like Joey Champness and Newcastle Jets. So I suppose watching on from the stands in the media box, were you sort of a bit surprised by how that went down? I suppose the fact that they didn't really try and stretch the Jets with a bit of sort of fleeting fresh legs off the bench.
Yeah, I was, and to be honest, it's right on deadline, so my head was buried in the laptop for the majority of the last 10 minutes, particularly once they got that third goal. But, they just lacked that little bit. They needed to change the dynamic. They needed to change something. I guess they lacked that little bit of silk in creativity without Bruno Fornaroli, someone that can turn the game on a dime with a piece of individual brilliance. McLaren's more run at players and finish off because he's got all that pace, and same with the other boy they brought in during the January transfer window. So they just... They just lack that little bit of silk. Someone to say, okay, this game is mine. We should be winning this game, or at least getting a point out of it. I'm going to take the game. I'm going to change it. I'm going to do this or whatever it is. Whether it is provide a little bit of silk, whether it is make a tackle, whatever it is, to change the rhythm of the game, because that was what they were lacking. I don't know whether that's due to a lack of experience maybe, or just a lack of football smarts, but they needed to change something, and they weren't able to do it.
Now, James, across the weekend, there were some unexpected results. The only result that really wasn't a surprise was probably Perth Glory getting the job done against Brisbane Roar. So with that in mind, what was something that you found a little bit peculiar or had you scratching your head over the weekend?
Central Coast Mariners led Sydney. That was a bit peculiar, I thought. Being the arch rivals, I like ripping into the Central Coast Mariners. I've got a lot of people down there that thankfully don't know where I live. But... Yeah, I thought Sydney, I thought their performance, again, was a bit listless, particularly in that front third. You're so used to, particularly Ninkovic and Lafondre, they get chances, they normally score them, and they just seem to be not at the races against the Mariners. I don't know if that's just because they went with a bit of complacency or whether the Mariners may have had a real dig. But, they're the games that, Graham Arnold coach teams win those games. And I'm not saying that Steve Corrick is not as good as coach as Graham Arnold, but he's a certainly different style of coach. They seem to have lost that little bit of swagger, that little bit of arrogance that they've had in the past, and it's what we in Newcastle didn't like about them, because they did have that swagger and they did that arrogance, that sort of we're better than you mentality. But it did make them a very hard, had that aura about them and made them very hard to beat, and I think they're missing that at the moment. Again, the Mariners tried hard, they led, they probably should have thought they'd get 3 points out of it, but they've just forgotten how to win, to be honest.
James, are we seeing, I guess, the focus now almost shifting to the Champions League for clubs like Sydney and Melbourne Victory, and obviously Newcastle resting so many players on the weekend? Is this a critical period for teams like Sydney and Melbourne, because they're almost at a point where they're rotating their squads on a weekly basis in readiness for the Champions League next month? So is this maybe the sign of a few results which might actually challenge both clubs? Because, as you said, against the Mariners under normal circumstances, you'd expect Sydney to almost run away with a comfortable victory. But I guess if you're any club at the moment, playing against Sydney FC or Melbourne Victory in the next few weeks, there's every chance that you could nip a result.
Yeah, it's a good point you make, because, I mean, when you're given the hectic schedule of January with that festival of football where you were playing midweek games and you were, there's going to be, there was a game every day. So that's going to have a draining effect. So I wouldn't be surprised if they are starting to freshen, not just necessarily rotate their squad, but players are a little bit drained. They're starting, and they need to freshen up mentally. So the next, particularly the teams like Victory and Sydney who assured, a top four spot, pretty much. You would think. I wouldn't be surprised if they do have a little lull. And I found it, no matter which team you are in the league, that you always platter. You always have a little flat spot, whether it's a 2 week or a 3 week. Some of the poorer teams make it 5 or 6 weeks. But if you remember last year, the Newcastle Jets, I think, lost three in a row before beating Central Coast Mariners 8-2 in that last game. I think in the past, that great Brisbane Roar team dropped four or five games before the finals after they'd won, I think, unbeaten in 36 straight, if you recall, a few years ago. So every team does have their little lull. And I think with these these bigger clubs that are going to be involved in Asia, this is where you find that lull will come. It's not intentional. I think it's just that little bit of wear and tear and, okay, the battery's nearly flat. Let's freshen up a bit. And I'd be stunned, particularly Melbourne Victory and Sydney, the teams that are safe in the top six and in the top four, that if they don't start rotating guys and giving these younger ones a go. But look what happened to the Newcastle Jets. They had six changes. And the guys that come in, the fringe guys, are always up for it. Yeah. And they can do that for one or two games. This is going to sound like easy to say in hindsight, but I thought that the Jets were a good chance against Melbourne City for that very reason, because I knew these guys have been busting for their chance. They've been on the fringes. They're decent footballers. They're probably not quite the same ilk as the guys that were starting. They get their chance. They want to make the most of it, and they can do that for 1 or 2 weeks. If you had that team for 5 or 6 weeks, well, then you'd find the performances plateau out, but they can get up for 1 or 2. So there's no doubt that the teams down below them, if they're coming up against a Sydney or a Melbourne Victory, they're going to be up for it, particularly if they've got fringe guys playing for their contracts, playing for their lives, essentially. There could be a couple of upsets in the next month, for sure.
Very shrewd point indeed. James Garda from the Newcastle Herald, thanks a lot for jumping on and subbing in for Vincenzo. You did very, very well indeed.
No problems, guys. Anytime.